chapter 48. I'm going to read. We're going to read from verse 12 to the end of the chapter. There's an absolutely classic line in this passage. Just see whether you can spot it. Isaiah 48, verse 12. Listen to me, O Jacob, Israel, whom I have called. I am he. I am the first and I am the last. My own hand lay the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they all stand up together. Come together, all of you, and listen. Which of the idols has foretold these things? The Lord's chosen ally will carry out his purpose against Babylon. His arm will be against the Babylonians. I have spoken. Yes, I have called him. I will bring him, and he will succeed in his mission. Come near me and listen to this. From the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. And now the sovereign Lord has sent me with his spirit. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, your children like its numberless grains. Their name would never be cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Leave Babylon, flee from the Babylonians, announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it. Send it out to the ends of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when they led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and water gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There's no peace for the wicked. Do you like it? It's one of those verses. You might not even have knew it was in the Bible, but you've heard it, haven't you? You might have heard, someone might have said that to you when you were working. You're so busy, and someone says, oh, there's no peace. There's no peace for the wicked. You've got no chance. There's no peace for the wicked. Anyway, never mind. You've got wicked in your head. That's good. There's no peace. I want to speak about there being no peace for the wicked. I've never, ever heard a sermon on this verse. I know the verse. I've heard the verse. But I've never, ever heard anybody speak on it. But that verse started, it really troubled me, because there's no peace for the wicked. And if you turn that on its head, does that mean if you've got no peace that you're wicked? Is that what it means? Because I've had a dreadful 10 days. I mean, dreadful. With everything going wrong that could go wrong. We've had a flood. We've had problems with my car. Last Sunday morning, this happened to me. I'm talking to somebody. I'm 50 in June. That's what I was waiting for, Ange. No. Yeah. I must start using that stuff that makes your hair go the other colour. I forget what colour it was. So this is what happened to me last Sunday morning. I'm talking to somebody about being 50. And they said to me, how do you feel about being 50? I said, I can't be 50. My grandma is still alive. It's exactly what I said. And 5 minutes later, Jack came and said, Nana, my mum, has just phoned. Grandma's died. Well, okay. That's permission to be 50, isn't it? But it's been one of the... I mean, my grandma was 97, and she loved Jesus. And so, you know, there's sadness there, but I'm not mourning in front of you. There's joy there as well, isn't there? But sometimes you have those weeks, don't you, where there is no peace. I cannot tell you that I have been full of peace this week. When I remembered on Friday... And I have to tell you as well, last Sunday, the guy at the school told me that the majorettes were in. And if you were at Long Lane last year when the majorettes win, you know that is a major issue for us. 800 people suddenly rock up and cause mayhem. And I forgot because of grandma and a few of the other bits and bobs that were going on in my life until Friday morning when I woke up like this. Oh, dear, I said to myself. There is no peace for the wicked. Does that mean I'm wicked? And what about some of you? Have you got one of these? I mean, how was your level of peace if you got one of these? As we were debating seating this morning, Rob and I are going, shall we close those doors? And I'm going, well, we might need the space. Yeah, but the kids are going to go mental after 40 minutes in there. That's where they all are. You can't see. Well, you might be able to see them. You know, it's like, oh, what do we do? Do we, you know, because they make noise. Dad,
dad, dad, dad, dad, dad, dad, dad, dad, dad, dad, dad, dad, dad, dad, mom, will you speak to your daughter? Do you know the sound? I'm looking at Tony. Tony knows the sound. Do you know the sound? No peace. The word says there is no peace for the wicked. And that strange line, as we read through Isaiah 48, initially you think, someone's just stuck that in there, haven't they? What shall I do with this verse? Oh, I'll need to put it somewhere in the Bible. Oh, I'll put it there. But initially you think it doesn't flow. But actually, as we think about what Isaiah is saying in Isaiah 48, the first thing you need to know is he's speaking to the people of God. He's not speaking to murderers and paedophiles and rapists. He's speaking to the people of God. And he's speaking this word to them, which is strong. It is powerful. It is dangerous. Slightly discouraging when you've had a week. Like, you know, I know I'm not the only one who's had that week. Lots of us have had those weeks. Some of you, you've had that week for the last 15 years, haven't you? You know, those things that never go away, that you're carrying, that you're walking through difficult, difficult times, and they don't stop. What is God saying to his people here? Well, if we go back through Isaiah 48, we find a couple of things. He says, there's no peace for the selectively deaf. See, God speaks a word to us sometimes, and we hear the word, and we don't like it. He says, there's some stuff in your life you need to stop doing. There's some stuff in your life you need to start doing. Put that down. Pick that up. Why are you spending all that time on Facebook and Instagram when you could be spending some time with me? When you could be spending some time with your wife or your children? Why have you got virtual friends when you could have real friends? That's a word for the world, isn't it? And you know, church, we're not too far behind. You know, once upon a time, none of you would have wandered into a betting shop. Well, actually, one or two of us would. But lots of us wouldn't have wandered, in case somebody spotted us. But you open up your... Yeah, I mean, you could be on Betfred right now on your phone. Depends how dull the sermon gets, doesn't it? And you can get good odds on me being less than 30 minutes this morning. Actually, not that good odds, but... We live in a world that is secret, that is in the dark. And God is saying things to you, and you are ignoring him. And Isaiah says, there is no peace for the wicked. He's talking to the people of God. And he's saying, there's a wickedness here about our selective hearing. 10 times in Isaiah 48, there was a listen word. And if you've been with us over the last few weeks, as we preach, as Rob and Dave and myself have preached from this back end of Isaiah, that's a word that comes over and over again. Are you listening? Will you hear what God says? Will you listen? Or will you do what he says? Listen is a verb. It's not just something you, oh yeah, that was good. Oh, that was a great sermon. Wasn't that a great sermon? And then it goes, it's something you do. What will I do with what I hear? Over and over again, there is this listen word. And we need to sometimes look at our lives and think, who am I listening to? Who is speaking into your life? I want to give you a little parenting tip, those of you who've got parents. If certain things, certain TV programs seem to affect the mood of your children, turn them off. I don't know whether the show is still out there. It's probably not, because the actors are probably now 50 or something. But our kids used to watch this program called Tracy Beaker, you know, back in the day. And Tracy Beaker would do something spiritually, emotionally, to our preteens. It would make them horrible. And it was a clear link between this show. It wasn't obviously demonic, you know. They weren't sacrificing people or anything, you know. But there was a clear link. And we got to the point where we recognised the link. So what do you do? Keep sitting your kids on the bottom step? I mean, there was times when our stairs were full of children. Some of them weren't even ours. Sit there. I don't even live here, mister. Shush. You're going nowhere. Jack's gone, I'm 21. You can't sit me on the stair. He's not here this morning, so it's all.
What are you listening to? It's easy to observe it in somebody else. It's easy to see it in your 9-year-old. Oh, there's stuff they're taking in which is not good. I'm the parent, not the telly, and not the kid. Turn it off. Take it away. Put it in your pocket. I mean, the best punishment ever in this modern world is stick this in your back pocket for 20 minutes when it, you know, when it belongs to them. Murder. Please, can I have my phone back? Oh, no. Maybe when you're 25. What are you listening to? Easy to see somebody else. What about you? What is coming into your brain, into your ears, that actually is not doing you any good at all? What do you need to do? The people. This is Isaiah speaking to a people who are in captivity. And they follow, we call him God. The Old Testament name is Yahweh. So they are the people of Yahweh. And they are in Babylon. And if you follow a god in the ancient Near East, so this is 700 BC, so we're talking almost 3,000 years ago. If you follow a god in the ancient Near East, and your nation is captured by a bigger nation or a better nation, your gods are captured too. And often what they would do is they would take the symbols of your god, the statues and all that stuff, and put those in their temples to say, look, our god is better than your god. Our god is bigger than your god. These followers of Yahweh have been in Babylon, well, they're there about 70 years. So at this point, let's say they've been there 60 years. And they're still trying to follow their God. But for two generations, they have heard, your God is dead. Your God is dead. Your God is powerless. Your God is powerless. Your God is dead. Your God is dead. Your God is powerless. Does that ring a bell with the generation we live in? For two generations or more, we've heard this in our world. Your God is dead. And Isaiah is saying, guys, you've got selective hearing. You're listening to the wrong stuff. Our God is alive. Our God is for us. Our God is calling us out of Babylon. The exceptional thing about the Old Testament, you know, written 400 years before the birth of Jesus at its latest, the exceptional thing, In religious terms, as it never says that God is the God of the victors. It says God is the God of the downtrodden, of the poor, of the losers. God is the God of the stressed out. If you think about, you know, Siobhan started us with Moses, didn't she? You know, God calls Moses in the desert. He's a murderer, right? He's had everything, and he's lost everything. He's a bankrupt. He's a divvy. He's got a stutter, and he's in the desert because he's afraid of being at home. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know what he's for. And God calls him to send him to a people who are also in captivity. They are losers. They are slaves. They've got nothing. Why does God call us to the broken and the lost? Because he's the God for the broken and the lost. And it's not a word of victory. It's a word to come into victory. And he speaks this word to us this morning. And he says, will you listen? Will you hear? Or will you listen to the other stuff? The other stuff that's going on in our world. You know, in our society, we've heard, haven't we, over and over again that God is dead. But God will not go away, will he? You know, Christianity is booming. It is booming around the world. You know, it might have had a bit of a hit in Britain. Stop reading the Daily Mail and the other ones that say the church is dead. Oh, the church is dead. Look, the church is dead. It's rubbish. Have a wander around the churches of South Liverpool. God is on the move. He's doing something. He is not finished with us. You know, the world in which we live, if we push this idea that God is dead and that we are just the random connection of genes, if you think, I mean, that might be how you think biologically, chemically. But if you think about that socially, it is horrific. Because the lost and the broken of society need to be lost and broken. And we should not try and rescue them. Because they're the weakest. And we believe in survival of the fittest, don't we? And so if I'm the fittest, let them die. In fact, why don't I help them along?
Now, nobody says that, but if you push that, those thinking, that's where you get. But also, if you push this idea that God is for the broken and the lost, that takes us somewhere else completely. God is not dead. He's alive. And he wants to speak to us, and he wants us to stop listening to some of the crap we listen to and hear what he's got to say to us and for us. I wonder, I was finishing my sermon at 10:30 last night. Normally I'm more organized, but it's been one of those weeks, hasn't it? So 10:30, we'd been to my father-in-law's 80th birthday party. I had a lovely time, and I'm on my bike, and I'm riding back from the party. And I'm thinking, that's a great start to the sermon, Lord. Thanks for that. That's good. And then, but then there's like, yeah, but how? You know that question? How do I hear God? How do I put this in place? What do I do with this? I think to give you some practical help is to just have a little survey this week of what you're listening to, of what you're reading, of what you're watching. And be asking yourself, is this good? Is this godly? Does this build me up? Does this encourage me? Does this encourage others? Do I, after I've watched this, feel, oh, that was good? Or do I come out thinking, oh? And if the answer to any of those things is, oh, that's not great for me, stop it. Just turn it off. Do something else. There is no peace for the wicked. If you want peace with God, there's stuff you need to do. That's what Isaiah is saying here. There's no peace for the wicked. Release our ears, Lord, to hear you. You might just want to put your hand on your ear. Lord, release our ears to hear you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. That memory verse is good, isn't it? Ask in my name, and it will be given to you. Like that. There's no peace for the selectively deaf. There's no peace in this place. He tells them to leave Babylon. Get out of here. Get away. God is saying this place has become toxic to you. You will have no peace as long as you live amongst the wicked. You know, there is this great challenge in the Christian life, isn't there? Because it's easy to have like all Christian friends, isn't it? If you work for the church, that's massive. There's a few of us in this room work for the church. Everyone we know is like, oh, godly and got halos and everything. They never swear or anything. They never, you know, they never speed. I'm talking to people I know, obviously not about myself, you know. It's easy to end up in this kind of godly enclave. And you know, we should have friends who aren't all the people of God. But it's also possible to be the opposite, isn't it? Where the only people we know are not Christians. And the only time anybody speaks something different into our lives is half an hour on a Sunday morning. And that's not good either. Because sometimes we get into a place where all we're hearing and all we're experiencing is pushing us away from God. You know, when I first became a Christian, I knew, you know, it was as much as God had spoken to me, like a billboard in my bedroom saying, get out of this place. Now, the bedroom wasn't bad. And the home wasn't bad. But my work environment and my friends, they were not good for me. They were not good for me. They were a great set of blokes if you want to drink 40 pints a week. And when you get to the point where you don't, and you don't want to have a fight in the nightclub every Saturday night, you have to do something about that. You have to get away. You have to do it. If you're sitting there saying, Lord, Lord, please, Lord, will you do something? And the Lord's saying, just go. You've all heard this story, I'm sure. At 24 years old, I say to my mum, I hate living here. I'm sick of this house. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of my dad. And she says, just leave. You're an adult. It was a revelation to my soul. I did. I left. And I am convinced if I hadn't, I'd have ended up back where I'd started. But more guilty. Because I'm going, oh yeah, I know Jesus is alive, but I can't shake off these people. Some of them are my friends still. But I don't want to live with them. and I don't want to hang out with them all the time because what they're speaking to my life is negative. In Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Every young person's favorite verse. But if you read Jeremiah 29 and the other chapters around it, it says, if you put God first, if you walk with me, if you listen to me, if you put these things in place, I will prosper you in this place. But by the time Isaiah speaks, 20, 30 years later, not sure exactly how long, Isaiah is saying, this place has become toxic. Get out. Sometimes God has taken us somewhere. It's been a good place. You might be there because of difficult circumstances, but it's been a good place. But then he says, get out. Leave. It's a dangerous sermon for a pastor to preach, isn't it? But if the church has become toxic, get out. You know, I think, you know, God puts us in communities. And we should push through the good and the bad. We should push through when it's difficult. But if you've been in a difficult place for a couple of decades, what is the matter with you? Go somewhere else. Go and be. If all you do is complain, stop it. Go and be joyful somewhere. And that applies to every single area of our lives. Actually, I'm not advocating that for marriage or parenting. Don't believe in the kids here. Leads us in. For some areas of our lives, there's no peace in this place. And Isaiah says, get out of the place you are in. It might be difficult to do. You know, your friends might not understand. I know that pain of friends rejecting you because essentially you're rejecting them. Because what am I saying to them? I don't want to hang out with you because you're a bad influence. And they're going, I'm warning you because you brought me. Because I was a bad influence. Oh yeah, sorry about that. But I've met Jesus. And I need to get out. I need to flee. No peace in this place. I feel really strongly that this is a word for somebody here. And that God has been speaking to you about leaving somewhere. And you've been kind of, I don't know. And God is saying, now, today's the day. Do it. Don't just hear it, but do it. There's no peace in this place. There's no peace in myself. I love a bit of social media. I do. I love it. But what I really detest about it is it keeps telling me how brilliant I am and how I can do everything. And if you haven't seen through that nonsense, open your eyes. You cannot do everything. And we're bringing up a generation of young people who have been told constantly they can do everything. And it's not true. And it's evil. It is wicked. Because if I was, you know, I'm old. I know I am. But at 15, if somebody constantly tells me that I can sing, I'm going to go on Britain's Got Talent. Because I have got the confidence. And within me is this amazing Bob Dylan-like voice that wants to pour out my beautiful noise. But I cannot sing. I cannot. I wanted to be one of the four tops. That was that I wanted. I mean, and you know, I wasn't black. And I was born too late. And I can't sing. But apart from that, this generation says, I can do it. Just believe in yourself. You can do it. I'm sorry, but it's not true. Now, every single one of you in this room is gifted. Every single one of you. God has given you stuff. You know, don't mistake the natural and the supernatural. That is a false dichotomy. It's an unbiblical idea. God has given us stuff. You know as well as I do, you see people do things, you think, oh, that's like a spiritual gift, but they're not even Christians. Well, why is that? Created in his image, you see. God has given us stuff. But you only know what you've got by trying. You only know the gift you've got by, you know, it doesn't matter what the gift is. If you never try and do it, God's given you the gift of healing, but you never pray for anybody to be healed. Bit useless, that, if I'm honest with you. Or preaching, or administration, or tongues, or prophecy, or whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is. My children, once they could talk, would ask me to stop singing. I tried the gift. I didn't have it. I tried some other stuff. Discover what you've got. We live in a generation that has no peace with itself. And it's got no peace with itself because constantly you are told that you are enough and you are not. You are wicked. I don't like even saying it, but it is true. We are not self-sufficient. We are not enough. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. But the gift of God, Jesus Christ, I am not God's gift to Long Lane Church. Jesus is God's gift. You are not God's gift to anybody. Jesus is God's gift. And we remain wicked without Jesus. But with Jesus, something amazing happens. He takes our guilt and our shame. We remain sinners, we do. We do. But he does something. If you want the theological term, it's called imputed righteousness. He gives us his goodness. You won't find peace with yourself until you make peace with God. And when you make peace with God, you find peace with yourself. Because you start to realize who you are and what you're for and what you're made for. One of my favorite quotes is by a guy called Howard Thurman. He's one of Martin Luther King's buddies. And he says, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go and do that. Because what the world needs is people who've come alive. What are my gifts, Lord? What can I do? What have you given me to do? I've been recommending our leadership team do a skills survey by a guy called Marcus Buckingham. And it's called Discover Your Strengths. And my number one strength in that survey is communication. I know you think, God, dear, that's poo, isn't it? But anyway, communication. Number two is woo, W-O-O. It's winning others over. Woo. If you don't like me, I can't cope with that. And so you will like me. I mean, I'll be at you from dawn until you like me. I'm like a puppy. I am so needy. You have to like me. And I'll tell you, over the years, there's been people who haven't liked me, and I feel like that should be illegal. Thanks, John. Come on. It's when you do a survey like that and you discover there is a name for something that is who you are, that is a beautiful thing. Because that's who I am. That's how I'm made. Most of you haven't got that. Praise God. But what have you got? Who are you? There's no peace for the wicked. There's no peace in myself. You need to find it. Oh, no, we'll live with that. There's no peace for the wicked. And we'll finish with this. Isaiah, in verse 16, says this incredible thing. He says, the sovereign Lord has sent me with his spirit. And it's difficult sometimes reading Isaiah because you're going, who's talking there? Who is that? Who's he on about? And there is this guy in the New Testament called Jesus. And lots of Isaiah is actually a promise of this one who was to come. And Jesus comes with his spirit. And he offers his spirit to us. And he says, here I am. Take me. Recognize that you're wicked and repent as a Bible word. Go God's way and not your way. It's not about being religious. You can still wear terrible shorts and bright yellow shirts and follow Jesus. It's not about being religious. It's about saying, I'm gonna try this out. I'm gonna go God's way and not my way. I'm gonna receive the Spirit of God. We can't do it without that power. Because we have weeks, don't we, that are terrible. How do I get through this, Lord? You know, the promise of the Bible is that not that he takes you out of it, that he meets you in the fiery furnace, Daniel 3. He meets you in the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23. He meets you in the divorce and in the cancer and in the disappointment with the people around you. He meets you in those places with the power of his Spirit to help you through those places. Help you walk in peace. There's no peace for the wicked, but there is peace for those who will become the children of God. What is God saying to you this morning? And what are you going to do about it? As the worship team come, if you've got a pen or a smartphone, if God has spoken something to you this morning, write it down so that you do something about it in the week to come. Let's pray as the team come. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, we thank you that you love us, that you want to speak life over us. Lord, I pray this morning that we would be, that our selective hearing would be tuned to you. Lord, I pray that we would hear your voice and that we would do what you say. And Lord, I pray as we, for those of us who are still searching, who are you? Are you even there? Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself in power to those who seek you. In Jesus' name, amen.